Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. Daniel chapter 1. As we consider this morning, faithfulness. Faithfulness. Stand in honor of God's Word, if you would please. Beginning in verse 17, Daniel chapter 1. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of days, when the king had said they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated. Faithfulness. Last Sunday, we considered trials and temptations we call the pressure cooker of life. And we realized exactly what Daniel, Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael were facing when King Nebuchadnezzar commanded that they eat the food that he had prescribed, and what created in them such anxiety. Because they knew what the law of God said, that this food was not to be their diet. And yet Nebuchadnezzar, greatest king on the earth at that time, with all of the power that was vested in him as the supreme monarch, could have very well had their heads. But these four young Hebrew men said, no, we will not eat the king's food. We will continue with what the Lord has prescribed for us. And here we've just read that at the end of days, when Nebuchadnezzar had the opportunity to examine these young men, found that they excelled. Faithfulness has its rewards. When we honor God in all things, God honors us in those things that pertain to Him and His kingdom. Faithfulness. Jesus longs for faithfulness in us, especially in the difficult times of life. It's easy to be easy when things are easy. And for many Christians, it's easy to be faithful when things are going smooth sailing, things are going your way. But the real challenge is to maintain faithfulness to the Lord God when things in life begin to fall apart. When the dark days come and the foundations under you seem to shake, and the things that you had thought about, had planned, don't seem to work out. Those are the times when God really looks for faithfulness in His people. Sinclair Ferguson wrote these words, "We tend to see temptations and trials as isolated nightmares, don't we? Most of us do. Temptations and trials we tend to see as isolated nightmares. God, however, sees them from a different perspective. They are important and connected punctuation marks in the biography of grace He is writing in our lives. They give formation, direction, and character to our lives. They're all part of the tapestry He's weaving in history. He uses them to build up our strength and to prepare us to surmount greater obstacles, perhaps fiercer temptations. They are important and connected punctuation marks in the biography of grace that he's writing in our lives. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 5. We also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, Paul writes, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We look at trials and temptation as the mechanisms which Satan uses to tear us down, but God uses trials and temptations as the mechanisms to build us up, to strengthen us. Daniel and his friends, they were on trial. How bad was it? They were on trial. First of all, they were in a foreign land and subject to foreign rules and regulations. That's political pressure. Not only that, they were commanded to eat the food that was contrary to God's law. That's moral pressure. They could have been killed if they'd refused the king's command. That's emotional pressure. All the other Jewish boys obeyed the king and ate the food. That's peer pressure. The food probably tasted good, and they knew that it wouldn't kill them. That's ethical pressure. And after all, with all of these things balled up together, God would understand. That's religious pressure. These boys were under pressure. This was no cakewalk for them. They were not in Babylon, tiptoeing through the tulips, on vacation, having a great time. These boys were captives, held by the greatest monarch on the earth in that day, commanded to do things that God had prescribed they not do. How were they able to say no to such pressure and yet survive? Now remember, these fellows are 15 years old. They're not seasoned old men like Larry Nocetti back there. They've not been around the block several times like Dylan Cook over here. These are 15-year-old boys. And they're standing in front of the great King Nebuchadnezzar. And they are being commanded to obey his rules and his regulations, to eat his food, and to prepare themselves for service in his palace. And they said no. There are certain principles of faithfulness that I want to share from Daniel that God honors in a person's life. First, Daniel continued to trust in God. I didn't say Daniel trusted in God. I said he continued to trust in God. You see, this interview, this standing before Nebuchadnezzar, was not the first time that Daniel, Azariah, Mishael, and Hananiah were to demonstrate faithfulness unto the Lord. They had been faithful servants of the Lord long before they ever came into Babylon. This was just another one of those points of grace that Sinclair Ferguson was talking about that God writes into our lives. They were faithful to the Lord before coming into Babylon, and they were faithful to the Lord all during their time in Babylon. They continued to trust in God. Now that word trust means to put your confidence in someone or something. That's the normal definition. Even in biblical Hebrew, that's the normal definition for trust. But there is a more spiritual aspect to the matter of trust as it's given to us in the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures. And that is the definition to take refuge in someone. To trust not only means to put your confidence, but it also means to take refuge. They found in God a hiding place. They found in God a sanctuary. They found in God a place where they could rest their spirit and their soul from all of the pain and all of the problems and all of the concerns and all of the burdens that they were facing and were going to face during their time in Babylon. They found in Him a refuge. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, you know the passage very well. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Isaiah writes in Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Jehovah the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. In Psalm 18, verses 2 and 3, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemy. You get the concept here of finding in God a sanctuary. A place of refuge. Solomon said, when I trust in the Lord, He gives me understanding and direction in my life. Isaiah said, when I trust in the Lord, He becomes my salvation. David said, when I trust in the Lord, He is my rock, He is my shield, He is my defender, He delivers me. Daniel and his three friends put their full faith and trust in the Lord because they understood that God honors faithfulness and He rewards those who remain faithful to Him. Second, they trusted in the promises of God. I firmly believe that Daniel and his friends knew God's promise given to them in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1, 2, and 3. Listen. Isaiah wrote, Isaiah prophesied, when you pass through the waters, God said, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. I have no doubt in my mind that when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood before King Nebuchadnezzar, and he commanded they bow down to the image, and they said no, and he said, I'll throw you into the fire. I have no doubt this promise of God, prophesied by Isaiah, came to mind. I will be with you when you walk through the fire. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The Lord gave many, many promises to the children of Israel in the Old Testament. And through Jesus Christ, He has given us such great promises as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 13 with me. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. How many of you have ever been tempted? No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is what? Faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also what? Provide a means of escape that you may be able to bear it. We all face temptation. We all face trials. But the promise of our Lord is that in every trial, in every temptation, He will provide a means of escape. It is our responsibility to look for that open door of escape. Amen?
Amen.
Because God will provide it. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We have a great promise from the Lord God that wherever we are, He is. And wherever He is, we ought to be. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. So, the writer of the book of Hebrews continues on, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Trust in the person of God. Trust in the promises of God. Third, trust in the power of the Lord God. Ethan the Ezrahite, bless you. Ethan the Ezrahite sang to the Lord this psalm, Psalm 89, verses 13, 14, and 15. Speaking of God, you have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand, and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. God has a strong and mighty arm that He is able to deliver His people, to sustain His people, to protect His people, to provide for His people. Azariah, Mishael, and Hananiah, they trusted in God's power to save them from the fiery furnace. I alluded to that just a few moments ago. Turn back to Daniel and look at chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16, 17, and 18. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16, 17, and 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, same individuals as Azariah, Mishael, and Hananiah. That's the Hebrew names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're Babylonian names, same people. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. This is when the king commanded them to bow down to the image that he had built and to worship the image that he had built. They said, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand. But if not, if He doesn't, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. How far does faithfulness go? To what extent is an individual to be faithful to the Lord God? These three young men, when commanded by the king to bow down and to worship the idol, they said, King, we don't have to debate the issue. We don't have to call a business meeting and let the majority rule on the matter. We know what the Lord God has said, and we know what the Lord God desires in us. We are not going to bow down to that image. Our God is able to deliver us from you. Our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But if He doesn't, if we die in that furnace, understand, O king, we're not going to bow down to your image. You see, these boys, they were completely faithful to the Lord God in life or in death. It didn't matter to them. They were willing to die in order to remain faithful to the Lord God. And we know the story. The Lord God personally delivered them from the fiery furnace. But he's also demonstrated his power and also has promised his power to deliver us as well. 2 Corinthians, let's look there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to see something here in these next couple of passages. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning at verse 7. Now look at this with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. This is Paul's poetic way of saying, look, living here in this flesh, we have some wonderful promises from God. Those promises are those treasures. This earthen vessel is this human body. In this human body, in this frail life, we've got some wonderful promises from God. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Notice verse 8. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not what? Crushed. Hard pressed, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in what?
Despair.
Persecuted, but what? Not forsaken. Struck down, but what? Not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. We've got tough times. We're always living in tough times. For the Christian, it has never been the happy days. From the very beginning of the Christian faith, from the first apostolic era up until today, Christianity has always been on the outs with the Lord of the earth. He has always sought to persecute those who follow after Jesus Christ. Thousands upon thousands died in the first Christian century and in the second Christian century. And even when Christianity became the Church of Rome under Constantine, true, faithful followers of Jesus Christ have always been persecuted. And even until today, we hear stories after stories after stories in the news. We read them in the papers. We hear them from mission agencies all across the world, how brothers and sisters in the Lord are laying down their lives for Jesus Christ even as we speak. But God is faithful. In the midst of all of the trials and the troubles and the persecutions and the problems that we face, God has said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll provide for you, and even in death, I will be with you. 2 Peter. Let's turn to that one. Turn right and go to 2 Peter, chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. 2 Peter, chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. What about this power of God? Let's go back up to verse 4, 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 4. And reading through verse 9. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down into hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ash, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and yet delivered righteous Lot, who was opposed by the filthy conduct of the world, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of the uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Peter said God has a good track record here. In the midst of judgment, in the midst of trial, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of individuals coming and oppressing against the people of God, he has been able to deliver them by his strong and mighty arm. He delivered Noah. He delivered Lot. And we could go on and on and on about those whom the Lord has delivered. And Peter's argument is this: if he was able to deliver those who were faithful, he's also able to deliver you who are faithful. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. We must trust in the person of God. We must trust in the promises of God. We must trust in the power of God. We must trust in the plan of God. God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. I read a book some time ago by a Christian author wherein in this book he stated that there is no personal plan of God for any of us. That God has a general plan for all mankind, but there is no plan for God in your life, and there is no plan for God in my life, and there is no plan of God in anyone's life, no personal plan of God in anyone's life. I read that book, and immediately I thought of Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. The Lord said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations." What was God's plan for Jeremiah? That he would be a prophet to the nations. Then I thought of Jesus. Luke chapter 4 and verse 43. Jesus said, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because it was for this purpose that I have been sent." Why did God send Christ into the world, clothed in human flesh? That he might preach the salvation of God's kingdom to us. And then I thought of the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promises of life which is in Christ Jesus. God does not have a personal plan for our lives, does he not? I beg to differ. He had a plan for Jeremiah. He had a plan for Moses from day one. That's why he was delivered out of the Nile River and placed in Pharaoh's home. He had a plan that one day that child would lead Israel out of bondage. He had a plan for Jeremiah. He had a plan for Isaiah. "Lord, here am I. Send me. What would you have me do? I want you to go out and preach to people who are not going to listen to you. I want you to go out and declare the judgment of God until all of the cities are laid waste. I want you to go out and tell the children of Israel that they're going into captivity." God had a will for Isaiah. He had a will for his son Jesus Christ. He had a will for the Apostle Paul. He's got a will and a plan and a purpose for your life as well as for my life. What was his plan and purpose for Daniel and for Azariah and Mishael and Hananiah? We'll get to that in a moment. Put your trust in the person of God. Put your trust in the promises of God. Put your trust in the power of God. Put your trust in the plan of God. These are great principles of faithfulness. And they're great principles to know. But knowing is nothing without doing. Knowing is nothing without doing. Faithfulness is active, not passive. It must be a daily practice in my life. It was a daily practice in Daniel's life. It was a daily practice in the lives of Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael. How so? Well, three things. First of all, it was practiced early. They began early. faithfulness in Daniel and his three friends started long before they ever entered into Babylon. Their parents and their priests taught them to honor the Lord in all things, in every area of life. Like David, the young shepherd boy. Like Samuel, the young prophet and judge. Like Mary, the young virgin mother of Jesus. They put their trust in the Lord early. They found their refuge, their sanctuary in Him when they were children. Their confidence in God developed and grew as they developed and grew. But you may say, well, listen, preacher, I'm not a young person anymore. I can't go back and begin again being faithful as a child. No, you can't. But you can begin today. You can start now. These four Hebrew boys, they were young, yes. David was young, Samuel was young, Mary was young, but not all who became great men and women in the kingdom of God, not all who were great in their faithfulness to the Lord began when they were young. Some of them didn't even come to faith in the Lord God until they were much older. But the point is, there has to come a time in your life when you begin to be faithful. And you maintain that faithfulness to the Lord God from that point on through the rest of your life. Faithfulness can begin in each and every one of us right now. It's what Jesus looks for. It's what Jesus longs for. Second, start early, but stay late. Start early, but stay late. What do I mean by that? Faithfulness is a lifelong discipline of the spirit and of the life. How many people do you know who started out right but ended up wrong? How many people do you know began good but they finished bad? How many people do you know walked with the Lord early but then turned away from the Lord later on? Jesus encouraged the church at Smyrna. The Christians who were under heavy persecution in Smyrna, Jesus encouraged them with these words in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Begin early, but stay late. Listen, Daniel and his friends were 15 when they refused the king's diet. They were 18 when they were interrogated by the king before going into his service in the palace. They were 19 when Daniel was 19 when he interpreted the king's dream upon pain of death. 36 when Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael were thrown into the fiery furnace. 66 when Daniel faced Belshazzar and interpreted the handwriting on the wall upon pain of death. How old do you think Daniel was when he was thrown into the lion's den for praying in public? Eighty years old. And yet the scripture tells us that Daniel prayed to the Lord three times a day, every day. And he was in Babylon for 70 years. You would think by the time he was 80, of course he came into Babylon when he was 18. So this was about 5 years before they were released to go back to Jerusalem. You would think after 65 years in Babylon, everybody would be used to Daniel praying in the open, praying publicly. But there were some people who got a burr under their saddle, and they hated Daniel. And so they reported him to the king, and the king threw him in the lion's den. 80 years old. The point is this. Unlike Solomon, who started off faithful as a young king but became a reprobate during his reign, unlike Hymenaeus and Alexander, who made a shipwreck of their faith, Daniel, Azariah, Mishael, Hananiah, like the Apostle Paul and countless others, practice faithfulness as a lifelong discipline. They were faithful to the Lord until the day they died. Commit to the Lord, to be faithful to the Lord early. Continue to be a faithful servant of the Lord every day until the day the Lord calls you home. And as a result, you will leave a legacy. That's the third. Leave a legacy for others to follow. Now, what was God's plan for Daniel, Azariah, Mishael, and Hananiah in Babylon? What was his plan for them? This was his plan, that they would leave a legacy. They would leave a legacy. 600 years later, 600 years after Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there were a group of wise men who came from Persia. Magi, riding on their camels across the desert sands, bearing gifts to see and to present to the Christ child. Upon coming into Jerusalem, they met up with Herod, asking for directions. Where is the Christ child that we might worship him? We've seen his star in the east. And we've come to worship him here. How did they know about the Christ child? How did they know where to look for him? How did they know what this was really all about? How did they know it would be somewhere in Judea? Where did they get that information? From Daniel. You see, when King Cyrus of Persia became the ruling monarch over all the world, the first thing that he did was he set a decree that all of the Hebrew people could go home. All of the Jews that were conquered by Nebuchadnezzar and brought into Babylon were free to go home, rebuild the city, rebuild the walls, and take up their lives where it left off 70 years earlier. But Daniel didn't go. Daniel stayed in Babylon, which then became Persia. He had a school there where he taught individuals the ways of God. He taught them the scriptures. He taught them the prophecies that we'll talk about a little bit later on as we get into the book of Daniel, about the things which were to come, the nations that would rise and the nations would fall. Daniel talked him and about all of these things, the plans of God. And now 600 years later, these wise men are making their way to find the Lord's Christ in Judea. Daniel left a legacy. And that's what God desires for you, and that's what God desires for me. Through our faithfulness in him, we can leave a legacy to our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, down through the generations yet to come if Jesus doesn't come before then. We can leave them a legacy of faithfulness. We're going to be living in some very difficult times. Many of us are living in difficult times now. But I've said this for 30 years. Times are not going to get better. They're going to get worse in this country. And we need to, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we need to, as followers of Jesus Christ, decide in our own heart and our own mind that we're going to remain faithful to the Lord God. We're going to trust in Him. We're going to trust in His promises. We're going to trust in His power. We're going to trust in His plan. We're going to start early by starting now. We're going to stay late, and we're going to leave a legacy. We're going to let people all around us know that no matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how tough it gets in this country, we're going to keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to keep our feet firmly planted in the truth of His Word. Because there is someone that you know, or someone who knows you, who needs to know the secret of your joy. They need to know why you have such hope and such assurance in your heart. They want to know the answer that you found in what makes life worth living in the midst of the Babylon that we're facing. That's why the Scripture teaches us, and I'll close with this. That's why Paul tells us that we need to be ready to give every man an answer for the purpose that lies within us. Because people are looking for that answer. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the testimony of these four young men. Thank You for their commitment to remain faithful to You in the face of such overwhelming trials. Young men who defied a king. Young men who said no to a nation. Young men who remain steadfast followers of the true and living God. Thank You for their testimony. And thank You, Father, that in their life they teach us how to have that same kind of faithfulness today. Thank You for brothers and sisters who are living out that kind of faithfulness, even upon pain of death. Those, Lord God, who are giving their very lives to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people who are willing to kill them. And yet they do it. Father, I pray for us here today. It's safe where we're at. There's nobody knocking down our doors. There's nobody threatening us at gunpoint. So it's easy to be faithful. It's easy to be easy when it's easy. But Father, these are the times when we need to be building up that faithfulness. We need to be preparing ourselves for the greater trials that lie ahead of us. And we need to start practicing trusting in You now, so that when those difficult times come, it won't be a problem at all. Like Daniel, like Azariah, Hananiah, Mishael, who had a legacy of being faithful, it was not a problem for them to stand before the king and say, no. I pray for that soul today who doesn't know the answer to the questions that they've been asking. For that person who cannot deal with that gnawing emptiness inside. For that person who knows that there's more to life than just what they've seen on the surface. There's got to be something deeper, more meaningful. For that person who's heard about You but has never come into a relationship with You, maybe didn't even know we could have a relationship with you. I pray that today your Holy Spirit will speak to that soul, draw that individual to the Christ who is able to save them, even Jesus our Lord. And I pray that today they are ready to commit their life to Christ and to stand with Christ as a servant of the true and living God. And I pray for brothers and sisters who are struggling hard with sin, who are struggling hard in this area of faithfulness, who look upon their lives and look back upon the days in which they've lived and they realize, Lord God, that there has not been a legacy of faithfulness. And they know in their own heart, should difficult times come, they would probably run for cover rather than stand and give an answer. Lord, I pray today for those souls, that they will start now. They will stay late. And they will begin to build a legacy that they will leave behind, a legacy of faithfulness. You know our needs today, Father, and I ask that in each and every life, your Holy Spirit is going to have his way in meeting those needs. Through Jesus Christ, I ask. Amen. Stand with me, if you will. David is going to lead us as we sing. If you are ready to commit your life to Jesus Christ, I invite you to come. If you're ready to start building your legacy of faith, I invite you to come and commit your life to Jesus. If you're ready to begin that faith journey with the Lord, I invite you to come. Commit your life to Christ now. Start being faithful today. And continue to be faithful every day, no matter what comes. Become a shining light for the kingdom of Christ to those all around you. Christian friend, if you're not as faithful as you know you should be, if you're not walking in faith, if you're not trusting in the Lord, if he is not your safe refuge, then there's something wrong in your relationship to Jesus, and you need to come and get it right. You don't need to talk to me about it. You need to come and talk to the Lord about it. The altar is open. The Lord is waiting, ready to receive you, if you'll come as we sing. David, lead us. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.